Food is fuel for your body, your mind, and definitely your sport. But let's face it, nutrition is confusing, and the expectations on girls and women to be thin and have a six-pack are exhausting. If you've ever been frustrated with your body, confused about nutrition, obsessed with eating healthy, or guilty when you don't, underate, overate, or overtrained, and overwhelmed with all the pressure, then this podcast is for you. Nutrition can be easy. You can take control of it, but it might start with letting go of control by asking for help and making a change. I'm Lindsay Elizabeth Cortez, sports dietitian and owner of Rise Up Nutrition, where I empower female athletes to overcome nutrition concerns and perform at their highest level, to stop being confused by all the mixed or harmful messages, and finally have confidence in your body as a fierce, fit, and fueled female athlete. Hey fans, Lindsay Cortez here, your host of the podcast, and I'm going to do something a little bit different, and I'm going to try and make this a regular thing. As many of you know, podcasts very often have some sponsors or affiliates, discount codes, and we have a couple of those brands for you, and they're listed in the show notes. And, you know, I share about them through recorded ad scripts. And first and foremost, I truly want you to know that these are brands and companies that I believe in, that I use myself. I know when I first started business, I was really hesitant to promote other brands. I wanted to be brand neutral, especially when it came to food or supplements, because I have the first all foods fit approach and the, you know, carb is carb is carb approach, meaning like there's nothing like revolutionary about X supplement or X brand of food. It's all about like you have so many options, right? Okay. Not trying to digress from my point here. My point is that the brands and companies that I have chosen to become an affiliate for are ones that I like really truly find value for this community of female athletes. And so what I'm going to try to do new is, and you know, I'm just going to try and be a little bit more authentic with what companies or brands I'm recommending for each episode and why. Because let's be honest with each other. When you hear an ad, you just like fast forward. You're like, I want to get to the episode. I want to get to the good stuff. Like fast forward through the ad. I don't care. I've heard it 1,000 times before. And that may be true. But even still, I want to be like authentic and as to why I'm recommending it. Okay, so today's episode, which we'll get to very shortly, is with Betsy Flint, and she's a professional beach volleyball player and a mom of a young one. Her daughter's less than 3 years old, 2.5 basically. And so as we get into this episode, we're talking about her passion for volleyball, her journey with nutrition, some great lessons she learned along the way. And we're also talking about the obstacles she faces as a pro volleyball player and a mother of a little one, and how that has impacted her performance and her nutrition and her energy levels. And because of that, I really want to share with you about a company called Jen and Carrie, who create nursing sports bras for mom athletes. Jen and Carrie is actually founded by a sports chiropractor, Dr. Carly, who's been on the podcast before. And this sports bra is my favorite. I own two of them, and I purchased them when I was nursing Gabriel, my oldest. It is a nursing sports bra, but the cool thing about it is it looks like a sports bra. It does not look like a nursing bra. It looks like a sports bra. And guess what? Right now, I just had Levi. Some of you know that I was not able to breastfeed with Levi. And that's the amazing thing about this sports bra is that it functions like a sports bra, so I'm still wearing it even though I'm not nursing right now, which is just so amazing because as a mother, you have to buy all these new things to support your pre-pregnancy body, during pregnancy, postpartum body, all these things you have to buy for nursing, for breastfeeding, or if you're not, and all these bottles you have to, it's a big financial investment. So to get a nursing sports bra that's going to work for you through all the stages, even beyond your breastfeeding journey, that is what I love about this. This is an investment that will help you through your nursing journey and afterwards, because I actually am wearing it right now. I'm not even joking because it's so comfortable and it works for running, jumping, CrossFit, lifting, Pelotoning, all the sports. And you can nurse your baby while doing it. And when you're done nursing your baby, you can still wear it. So that's why I love it. Okay, so all of my mom athletes out there, including the amazing Betsy that you're going to hear from shortly, please use the code RISEUP10 for $10 off your first order at jenandcarrie.com. That's Jen, J-E-N, and A-N-D, Carrie, K-E-R-I.com for literally the best, I might go so far to say the best sports bra I've ever owned. I love it. Also, they have high neck sports bras and they just came out with lower scoop neck. And I know they're working on more color options as well. This is a really small startup company to cater to the needs of this really special and unique population. So, you know, they don't have 50,000 color options, but the kinds that they have, they're really like your purchase is going to help them come out with new color options or new variations and styles. But right now they have high neck, which I have, and they also have the lower scoop neck, and can't speak highly enough about them. So jenandcarrie.com, rise up 10. Please check them out. So now let's get into my conversation with the amazing Betsy Flint. Hello, fans and listeners. Lindsay Cortez here today with Betsy Flint, who is a professional beach volleyball player currently playing for Team USA. She is a 7-time Association of Volleyball Professionals AVP champion, 2-time American Volleyball Coaches Association All-American, and she still holds indoor records at Loyola Marymount University in career aces and digs. Her career in professional beach volleyball began in 2012, and by 2015, she and Kelly Kolinsky became the youngest team to take home an AVP championship, winning all 5 matches in Cincinnati. That same year, Betsy was awarded the AVP Newcomer of the Year award, and since then, she has continued to add accolades to her list, including AVP Best Server in 2019, 2022, and 2023. And AVP VolleyballMag.com Most Underrated in 2022. Betsy also plays in the Fédération Internationale de Volleyball, FIVB, where she has won several medals, including 5 golds. Betsy, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
And you recently, I was following your Instagram, you recently came off of World Championships as well, right?
Yes, we were in a 2-week tournament in World Championships in Mexico and finished 9th. Which is awesome, but disappointing. We wanted to do better and knew we could, but the team played better than us and they're a great team. So ended our run there, but It was a great experience. And now we have a little off season, which is incredible. Last year we had maybe 2 weeks of off season just because we had a new partnership and there were late tournaments. So it's nice. I get to spend time with my family. I have a 2.5-year-old and I traveled so much this year. So it's nice to be home and spending time with my daughter and my husband.
Yeah. You love competing, but you need that downtime.
For sure.
I think I read on one of your Instagram posts too, as far as coming in 9th place in the worlds. And one of the reasons it was disappointing is because you felt like it was some of your best volleyball, right? And so it's like, oh man, it was some of our best. But that's sometimes the thing is that when the competition is their best, it's like everybody elevates. It's like 9th place feels like it was a 1st place or a 2nd place with the level of competition. But that's what like good competition does, right? It elevates everybody up to higher standards.
For sure. You don't want anything different. Yeah. But for sure, heartbreaking. We went into extra points too. And I thought for sure we're going to pull it out.
Yeah.
That we're trying to peak there. So I thought we did. And we were playing great volleyball. So that's definitely positive.
Yeah. So fangirl moment here. Volleyball and beach volleyball are 2 of my favorite spectator sports. I'm so terrible at playing them. I try, but I'm so terrible. Actually, I shouldn't say I'm so terrible. Because I like it, I've given it a shot a decent amount. I lived in Florida for many years and like did that on the weekends. I would go to the beach and just like give it a shot. So I'm not terrible, but I'm a much bigger fan of a spectator. I just think it is such an exciting spectator sport, both indoor and beach, which I know are very, very different, but I just think it's such a great spectator sport. So preparing for meeting with you, I was just scrolling your Instagram and I was like getting so amped up, like watching the videos. It was just so fun. I love it. It's such a fun sport to watch.
Thank you. It is It's a fun sport and it's humbling when you get out there. Even me, when I take time off, like going back on the sand, it's so hard. You have to get your sand legs back.
Yeah.
You're breathing heavy. It's just two of us. So yeah.
You know, and I think that's what it is about beach volleyball. There's something where as you're watching it, you're kind of like, oh, that looks fun. You might even say that looks easy. And then you get out there yourself and you're like, this is incredibly hard. It's exhausting.
Yeah. People just walk in the sand and ask, how do we play in that all day for hours a day?
Yeah. So maybe let's start there. Like, when did you start volleyball as a child in high school? And did it start with indoor and then transition to beach?
Yes. I loved basketball my whole life. I did grow up watching my sister play volleyball in high school. I grew up in South Dakota. So It was a small town. Everyone played every sport.
Yeah.
And then we moved to Arizona. And I had just like a tough experience with coaches and basketball and started to get better at volleyball. I started playing like YMCA and my friends just encouraged me to keep playing and I had a good friend group.
Yeah.
And just started to love and have some success with volleyball. So it started with indoor. I did play some beach in high school. It started off pretty rough. You know, it's a very different sport, indoor and beach.
It is.
With just two of us, the wind, the sun, the sand. It's completely different. So it took some time and I love that way more than indoor, But it wasn't a collegiate sport at the time. So I got recruited to play indoor at Loyola Marymount University, LMU here in LA. And they added beach as a collegiate sport, an emerging sport my sophomore year there. So it was awesome. A dream come true to play both in college. And I stayed a fifth year to play just beach and then played professionally immediately after that.
Yeah, that's awesome. And so with the college sports, indoor is a fall season and beach volleyball is spring season, correct?
Correct. So got to play year-round, year-round, which I loved. I could see how some people burn out, but I thought it was great to mix both.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing. Awesome. And, you know, this being the nutrition podcast, I always like to ask, like, where in your journey as an athlete, if ever, did nutrition come on your radar as something that was maybe important to your performance?
In high school, I had a teammate who was very interested in nutrition. She wanted to be a dietitian.
Mm.
And so I kind of got interested there, kind of planted the seed. And I cared a lot about nutrition. I didn't realize how much benefit it could help me as an athlete. So I got interested there. And then in college, I feel like I took it to an extreme where like maybe it was a little unhealthy. I would restrict too much and just be hyper like focused on trying to eat healthy food and whatever that even meant. It wasn't, there's no definition of it, especially back then. I feel like it was way less talked about. Fast forward to when I started playing professionally, I got into the USA gym. We had a strength trainer, a dietitian, and my strength trainer became very obsessed over, I don't know if obsessed is a word, but interested in body composition and like looking at other defenders, other people in my position and what their body composition was and what he thought mine should be. And so I started tracking using my Fitness Pal, which is great for a short term, but for me as a long term, it definitely created some unhealthy habits. I am the person who gets very obsessed over numbers. And so if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it right. And like I would measure out popcorn. And if my husband would take a bite, I would get so mad at him
because
I had measured it out. And then I got to a point where my dietitian was like, kind of got into an argument with my strength trainer and they agreed to disagree that sometimes our bodies are just happy where they are. And it doesn't mean I need to be like someone else's body type isn't something I should be striving for. We did get a new strength trainer like a couple years later and his mindset was completely different and it helped me so much. Like I got the strongest I've ever been. He didn't want me to weigh myself every day when I went into the gym and I wasn't tracking food. I was aware from what I learned, like, I need to be incorporating a protein more, just certain things that I learned, but I wasn't obsessed over it. And I was eating what I wanted to eat and I was the strongest I had ever been. So that was pretty cool to see that I don't have to micromanage every single macronutrient and weigh myself every single day to be successful. But my performance was way better when I wasn't tracking. I was eating what I wanted when I was hungry. And yeah, just focusing more in the gym on strength training.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much for sharing all of that. And what I love, like, sorry, I'm smiling so much because just for our listeners to like know, like, obviously we vouch like who our guests are coming on here, but also like, I didn't prep you at all. Like, I didn't ask you, what's your nutrition philosophy prior to asking this? And so like, I'm genuinely curious, and everything you just said, I'm smiling because I'm just like, it is so honest and real. It's so true to many people's experiences as well. It's like, I'm trying to eat healthy. I'm trying to do the right thing. And somehow it ends up being the wrong thing by being too restrictive. And I just think you just like dropped so many bits of just helpful advice of like, okay, it's good to learn, but don't be obsessive. Like, it's good to care, but it's not everything. Like, that one piece of popcorn isn't going to make the difference. And focusing on your performance and strength matters more than the actual body composition. Just so many nuggets there that were so helpful. So I want to go back to this college time period, because I think this happens to a lot of people, whether in high school or college. It's just kind of like that awareness of like, oh, nutrition can impact my performance. And we really do take this innocent or maybe naive approach of like, I'm going to try to eat healthy. And in doing so, sometimes it's just not enough for athletes. So you found that that led to basically restriction, even if it wasn't like super intentional, but it was just like in that naive attempt to be healthy, it just wasn't enough food. Did you find that that was like hurting your performance or your ability to concentrate or school or be nice or anything like that? Like, or like, were there any negative side effects, or was it just like you were hungry?
Nothing that stood out.
Okay.
But I felt like, I feel like when I am restrictive, I'm not a happy person. Like, so yeah. Maybe it's just like mood wise.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just irritable, and I'm sure that comes from hunger. I never felt like, I mean, maybe I should recall a little harder, but I didn't feel like I was starving myself.
Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely was more irritable and not as happy. Yeah. And that takes a toll on myself and people around me.
It does. Because look, there's a lot of people that are like, I'm not restricting. I'm not under eating. I'm not anorexic. It's like, no, but like, you could eat more food and be happier. And I think like the Snickers commercials really like hit the nail on the head there of being like, are you being hangry right now? Like, eat a Snickers bar. Or just that concept of like your mood and irritability or, and, you know, and yeah, happiness levels. You might just need a snack or a bigger sandwich and yes, give yourself permission for that. So that's kind of what you were experiencing, is just kind of that if you did allow yourself more food, you were a bit happier.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the next thing to kind of dive into is just that power and influence of our coaches. And I have known many amazing coaches in my lifetime, but it is interesting how some people, some coaches, be it outdated science, personal opinions, or just what's worked for them and their past clients, then being like influenced on you. It's crazy. It's important that coaches have so much influence. Like, obviously coaches need to have influence. They're your coach, they're your role model, and you put so much trust in them. But I think when somebody not fully knowledgeable about the best way to fuel a female athlete starts preaching nutrition, one of the things that people jump to right away is weight, body composition, and tracking. And it's almost like red flags to me. Like, those are not the most important things about nutrition or athletes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a difficult role being a coach, for sure. I was a coach for 5 years, and I've had coaches, like great coaches, who also tried to preach nutrition, like, oh, we're going to eat here, but you can't have tortillas. And looking back, like, I'm like, that doesn't make sense. Like, we should be eating tortillas because we need the carbs to fuel our bodies.
Yeah.
So like, if coaches are listening, like, trying to stay in your lane or get the help, like get the dietitian. Our school at LMU, they recently hired a dietitian.
That's great.
And it's been incredible because we don't know everything as coaches. Like, we're helping and trying to be role models. Yeah. But yeah, we need to find the proper help for these athletes who are so individualized too. You can't just blanket give a recommendation for the whole team. Everyone is so different.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, there's, at the end of the day, there's bad apples in every profession. So you have some dietitians that aren't great fits either. But I think kind of just that message to any coach listening of trying to do your best to stay in your lane to find, you know, because it sounds like once Team USA's dietitian like was there to help you, like you course corrected and was like, no, we're focusing on the wrong things here, and yes, helped you focus on the things that were more helpful to your body. And tracking, I do want to hit on this too, because I think that you meant, I'm not a fan, I don't track my diet. I don't, when I work with clients, we're not preaching, you know, hitting your macros or anything like that. With that being said, I think the one benefit that tracking has that you alluded to is you can learn from it. So to use it like short term as a learning tool.
Yes. And even now, like, I know I'm off season and I'm trying to get stronger, and I know protein's always a hard thing for me to hit. So sometimes mentally I track like, okay, I got 10 grams here, 20 here, but now it's more of a healthy approach where I'm trying to get the information and I'm not obsessive over it. I'm just trying my best to hit some protein at every meal, every snack. So yeah, for sure. I think it's a great awareness and it's a great tool to have for a short term period. Mm-hmm. But not great for someone who goes all in. So someone Absolutely. Like me and a lot of athletes.
So many athletes. Yeah, because you love data and, you know, and you love that, like, I'm speaking generally for athletes. Athletes tend to love data and love the idea of like hitting their goals. So it's like, you give me a nutrition goal, I'm going to hit it every day. But it's actually not how nutrition works. Like, your body doesn't require the exact same amount every single day. And then when you start trying to manipulate it like that, it takes you further away from like intuitively doing what your body needs. But yeah, it's an interesting thing though, because as somebody who very often preaches like not tracking, I also do see the benefit, because you do at some point in time, if you as an athlete care about your nutrition health, you're going to need to learn, you know, well, where can I get protein from? Or how can I increase my carbs? And it might take a little bit of looking at some labels or logging it in an app so that you can learn, oh, when I had that meal with rice and beans, I hit my carb goal that day. Great. Okay. I had just cereal for breakfast. I did not hit my protein goal, you know, and kind of like learning to make those adjustments. And we can do that with all of our nutrients, right? We can do it for your macros, carbs, proteins, fats, and then we can do it for things too. Like, very often female athletes, I might have them look at their fiber intake or their iron intake. Those are two really big ones. And then also sodium as well. And especially, you know, I'm sure you can resonate with that one in an outdoor sport in some more warm weather areas too. It's like, ooh, we actually might need to dial in our electrolyte intake here. And so every once in a while that tracking can be helpful. And so I'm going on a little rant now. I'm just like preaching a little bit, but I think if you resonate with Betsy and being that person who can easily, like, we're going to use the word obsessed, get too obsessed with it, like setting that goal of like, I'm going to track for 3 days and then stop and reflect on what I learned for 3 days. And then I'll stop for like a month and see how I do on my own. Or it's one of those things where you might decide, okay, this is what I want to eat for lunch. I'm going to go ahead and eat it. And you track afterwards and you learn, oh, wow, that was a really like high fiber meal. And then you decide, was that good or bad for you, right? But something you could do afterwards to learn. So kind of, I think setting some boundaries for yourself on how you track could be helpful.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. It's something even I do now. Like, I don't track my food, but every once in a while there might be, I'm trying to think of a recent example. I don't know. I think one of the most common ones is like, if suddenly like my gut health is off, I'm like, where's my fiber intake at? And I might track for like 2 days just to see, okay, yeah, my fiber's good, or, oh my gosh, I'm not getting enough fiber. Maybe I need to focus on that. And it might be like something to just kind of course correct, right?
Yeah, that's a great way to use it.
Yeah. So thinking about now in your professional career, are there any things when you go into a tournament, are there any like priorities that you have that you need to focus on? Maybe not necessarily like everyday fueling, but like heading into a tournament, are there some nutrition priorities that you try to focus on?
For sure, the electrolytes that you mentioned. I'm usually good at taking like a liquid IV a day. I, knock on wood, don't have a ton of issues with cramping. So with those athletes, they definitely need to focus on that. My stomach can't handle electrolytes while I'm playing. So I try to get them like an hour before, or for sure the night before, just to get it in my system. But yeah, it's for some reason upsets my stomach if I'm eating anything while I'm playing or drinking things. Mm. So I try to make sure I have a really big breakfast on match days because our tournaments were playing 2 to 3 matches a day. And sometimes there's not adequate rest time. There's like an hour, hour and a half, and it's not enough time to eat a full meal.
Yeah.
So I'm always making sure I get a really good breakfast, and I've trained my stomach to eat a good big breakfast. It's awesome. Taken time. I used to not be able to do it, but I feel a difference when I'm eating a substantial amount in the morning because I'm not getting a ton of fuel between like training sessions or if I'm playing matches. Mm-hmm. I'm getting little things, so it's nice to focus on that. Those are the two big things. And then recently this year, I've been working on a pre-workout snack or after my warm-up, getting some carbs, like some gummies, some like a Z-bar or something with just more carbs, because I don't like to eat when I'm like playing and competing, but getting that extra fuel, like after we warm up for 45 minutes, our bodies need something.
Yeah.
And so getting that those extra carbs in just to feel fueled, and I've no complaints. I felt like I played well and I never felt like low energy or fuel was an issue. So that was awesome.
Yeah, that is great. And I think as much as I do try and encourage athletes to fuel during their games and trainings, if they can, sometimes it doesn't work out. The schedules, the personal preferences, and that's where you have to be fully accepting that, okay, then I need to be fully fueled up before heading into this. And there's a lot of examples of that. I have a client right now who was doing like a 2-day, you know, softball tournaments, playing multiple games back to back. And it's just one of those things where it's like, look, I don't want to promote an energy deficiency here, but it's just timing wise, it's going to be impossible to meet your energy needs. So what we need to do is backtrack and focus on the days leading up to the tournament that you are fully, fully fueled. I also, Betsy, love, just to be blunt about this, you're in a sport with one of the most minimal clothing sports out there. And I love that you are not afraid to say, I'm going to eat a big breakfast and be fully fueled before putting this tiny bikini on and not letting that get in your way. I don't know if you have any other comments about like eating and the apparel that's part of your sport.
Yeah. Recently, for one, we don't have to wear bikinis. We used to be required internationally. It had to be a certain temperature if you wanted to wear more clothes.
Oh my gosh.
Which is a little ridiculous. So they have changed the rule, which is nice. So we can wear more clothes if we want to.
Thank goodness.
So definitely encourage, like people who are not comfortable in that to wear whatever they want to wear to feel the most comfortable.
And you did that recently. I saw you had a spandex like outfit on that was basically full coverage.
Yeah. Sometimes it's for cold weather. Sometimes I'm just more comfortable in a high-waisted legging.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the training your stomach definitely helps. I feel like if I just were to go eat a big breakfast and I wasn't used to it, I might be really bloated and feel, quotes, like bigger than maybe I normally would. But I feel like I've trained myself to eat that way and now my body's adjusted. And yeah, and I've slowly come to the terms with I'd rather perform better than I would look good. Mm-hmm. So I don't need to look good. Yeah, there's photographers and that can be uncomfortable. And for sure, I get self-conscious here and there, but I'm way more comfortable in who I am, especially after becoming a mom, like knowing what my body's been through and what our bodies are designed to do hormonally and the changes we go through every month to make a baby, make a child, which we don't realize when we're young because that's not what we're thinking about.
Right.
So our bodies do this for a reason, and that's pretty incredible. And so that's just good perspective to have on those days where we're feeling bloated or not feeling our best and knowing we're just trying to perform well. And it's not about what we're looking like. It's not about what those other people think. It's about like what we want for ourselves.
Yeah. I love that. And you know, it does, I think, for most females, if we're being honest, it's work to get comfortable with your body. And well, maybe even for any human being, this doesn't have to be sex specific, but like being comfortable with our bodies is mental work to get there. And then when you're, you know, in a situation like you are with photographers and you're working out, like it's not like you're posing to look as it, like you're in the middle of like, oh my gosh, movement and grunting and jumping. And like, there's jiggle, there's wiggle, like, you know, and it's just so like, how can we stay focused? And you making that decision of, I care about how I perform. I'm here to be an athlete, not a model, you know, and just recognizing how can I be the best athlete I can be? It's by making sure that I'm train myself to be fueled, focusing on the right things, having confidence in myself. And, you know, if we let worry about our body take over, you're not going to be focusing on the right thing during that match.
Yeah, this just sparked something. I've been trying to train my daughter. I feel like she puts on a dress and she's like, I'm so beautiful, I'm so pretty. And I love that she says that, but also it's like she's getting to the point where she cares about what other people think, you know? So I've been trying to train her like, okay, you look so happy, you look so confident.
Yeah.
And she saw a picture of me yesterday and she goes, Mom, you look so confident. And I about teared up. I was like, I felt so confident. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm tearing up for you. So I know. So it was a pretty cool moment. And I think that relates to it where just society and how it works these days, like people praise beauty and looks and with social media. And I'm trying to get away from that and just show like her confidence and happiness and like more about how what she feels like rather than what other people see her as.
Yeah. Well, and I think that highlights it too. Even when she originally was putting on a dress and saying, I'm pretty, it's like the thing is that she felt pretty. It's not whether or not there was a standard of prettiness that she was. It's that she felt pretty. And it's like, okay, well, when you feel pretty, you also feel happy. You feel confident. And those are the things to focus on. So, oh, I love that. And I think it's, you know, I think just in the, I'm speaking super generally here, but it's so interesting how from generation to generation, like beauty ideals and standards that women experience, they're passed on, you know, from mother to daughter. And that repeats from mother to daughter, mother to daughter, mother to daughter. And the words that we say and the things that we focus on being important. So I super appreciate that you are doing that for your daughter. And I think that's something that, you know, it'll trickle down for generations. It really will.
Thank you. I hope so.
Yeah. That's why I want a daughter too. I'm boy mom over here, but but boys have their role in this as well. So I'll do my best to teach them as well. But yeah, really, that's so awesome. I love that. And then I think another thing to kind of hit on here is the fact that, you know, your daughter is 2.5, you know, coming up on 3 years old, as you're being a professional volleyball player. I mean, that's just, I think, and we've had a few recent athletes on the podcast who are newer moms, you know, moms of younger ones, you know, like 2, 3, 4, 5 years old. And I think that this is partially a reflection of the times that, you know, female athletes now have a bit more support. We have a long way to go, but we have a bit more support in order to not feel like we have to choose one or the other and to actually be a mother and an athlete at the same time. And yeah, we've had Olympic triathletes. We've had runners. Who else do we have on recently? I feel like we had somebody else on recently who is a mother of a little one too. So it's so exciting to finally have, like, I think the support to do both. At the same time, it's incredibly hard. I would imagine. I'm not a professional athlete, but like motherhood is hard enough. What do you think are some of the biggest challenges that you have faced? Because you were a pro athlete before becoming a mom, and then you're a pro athlete, you know, now as a mother. What have been some of the bigger challenges of trying to accomplish your athletic dreams while also facing motherhood over the past 2-3 years?
There are a lot of challenges. I mean, as you know, too, you are working and thriving and being a mom, too.
Yeah.
For sure, the mental load, the sleep deprivation, and always thinking about the next thing, what I'm going to do later with my daughter, the appointments I need to make, like the house needs clean, this needs done, what are we going to have for dinner? All those things always circulating in my head. My daughter's never been a great sleeper, still to this day. She'll wake up for multiple hours in the night and be wide awake. So that's really hard. But I definitely could not be doing this without my husband. I wouldn't be able to be playing professionally. He is the primary caretaker.
Yeah.
And he still works evening job full time. So he's super busy. And I'm incredibly thankful for him and his sacrifice that he's made so I can do what I love. Mm-hmm. And just like the, like, we don't have daycare. Daycare is so expensive.
I know.
And we're lucky enough that we get to swap. So my husband watches her all morning and then I get home and he goes to work and I watch her all evening. Mm-hmm. It is hard on our relationship now, but I know it's a phase and we're going to get through it and have our time together again. But that's been a challenge, but it's been very rewarding that we get to take care of ourselves.
Yeah.
So we take pride in that for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, all of that to say, like, she has empowered my why and who I am on the court. Like, I want to maximize my time when I'm training. I'm not out there just to waste my time.
Yeah.
Or to go through the motions. And it's hard every single day to get out there and do it and to leave her. But knowing I'm inspiring her, hopefully as she gets older, like, to see that I'm able to chase my dreams and my passion. And I hope she's able to do that too. And that's a huge part of my why, as well as inspiring other female athletes and moms to get out there and pursue their passion, pursue their dreams. And although it's a challenge, like, we can thrive both as moms and working moms. And it definitely makes me a better mom to go out there,
yeah,
and have my time to myself and work out and,
yeah,
take care of me. I come home a way better person.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. It is. It's so much, though. Like you said, like, it's, you're certainly not doing it alone. Having your partner, your husband in this with you is huge. I can see that. I think one of the biggest things impacting, like, performance is probably that sleep and sleep deprivation. Oh my gosh, it just wreaks havoc on health and performance. And yet there's not much you can do about it, which is the difficult part, you know, and all the advice to mothers is like, sleep when your baby sleeps. It's like, that doesn't work. If they're going to randomly take a nap at like 1 o'clock, like, you've got dishes to do, you've got a workout to squeeze in or whatever. It's like, it's, it just doesn't work out that way. So that, I think, is probably, you know, probably one of the most challenging things. And everything else, it's like, okay, you, volleyball is your job, and then you come home to your other job, right? So yeah. That mental load. Yeah.
Yes. And the physical load of that too. My daughter is so active and we have a small apartment, so we're always outside, which is so fun and great for her. But sometimes I'm so tired and I'm chasing her on her scooter and I'm fighting her. She's having a tantrum on the way home and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm a block from home. Someone come pick me up and take me home. So there are challenges there, but it's also really incredible to see the person she's becoming and all her amazing characteristics she has, yeah, that she embodies already before 3 years old.
Yeah.
So it's cool that I want to keep encouraging those, like, strong-willed, determined characteristics, yeah, because I know it's going to make her successful in life, but it's, yeah, very hard to parent sometimes.
Yeah. It may even be something, like, I've experienced this myself too, and I'm, again, not at the level you are by any stroke of the imagination, but something to think about of like, okay, I got my workout in, I practiced, you know, whatever it was, but what are those activities, those physical activities you're doing outside of your designated training? And for you at this stage in your life, chasing around a little one, it's quite a bit, you know, of literally, like, you're out at the park, you're out on a walk, you're on the bike, you're pushing the swing, you're picking her up, you're bending over. And those are things to keep in mind from a nutrition perspective as well. You're not just fueling for your performance, but you're fueling for all the other activities of life. And, you know, I think in a different life stage, it'd be like, you'd go to practice and then come home, take a nap, you know, put your recovery boots on, compression socks, and, like, rest your body, but you're not getting that downtime of rest. And I think that's something to take into consideration nutrition-wise of, do I need more fuel? Do I need more hydration? I've experienced that myself because I try and get, if I'm going to get a workout in, I really can only do it before the babies wake up in the morning. And then when they wake up, it's like chaos unfolds. And I'm like, 4 hours, like, I have to chug water and electrolytes and breakfast right away. Because, I mean, as much as I'm going to try and keep up with my hydration, like, sometimes, yeah, I'm down at the park and I'm like, oh crap, I forgot my water bottle. So it's like, good, yeah, thing I started my day off right, at least. So it's just so much to keep up with those extra activities beyond your workout.
Yes, for sure. I am pretty good at bringing a snack because I am someone who gets hangry.
Yep.
So I always have a snack packed. My husband makes fun of me. I'm like, trust me, we need this.
Yes.
But sometimes I do space it and I forget. I have her whole diaper bag packed. I have her snacks. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't bring myself a bar. Yeah. Like you said, didn't bring water. And yeah, it's a challenge. But those are priorities for me too. Yeah. It's like bringing my water and my snack when I can think about it.
Yeah.
And that helps.
Yeah. Just doing your best to stay on it. We're gonna make mistakes sometimes, but it's that intentional like effort to try your best. As we talk about water, I always get thirsty.
I know.
I'm drinking my water bottle now.
Also, this year is probably the first year I've conditioned significantly less than I have in the past, but I've felt great on the court. And I do think because I'm getting a lot of conditioning with her, even though it's very different.
Yeah.
And I also have more energy to be with her. When I would like kill myself and do all the extra things, I was dead at home and it was hard just to leave the apartment. So that was an adjustment I had made and it still paid off. Like I felt great on the court. I felt in shape. I felt well conditioned. So
yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Cora, for conditioning me this year.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, that's why I kind of wanted to bring this up too, because be it somebody in a similar life stage to you or a different situation of maybe their job is physically demanding being on their feet. Like I think of nurses. It's like I've had many clients who were nurses or physical therapists themselves. And it's like they get their workout in and then they're on their feet and being physical and moving around like different floors of a hospital or demonstrating exercises to their clients. And it's like, wait a second, throughout a whole day, you just did 50 squats. Like you're not working a desk job. You're being super physical. Another example is I think a lot of college athletes, they're putting in their time, their workouts, their training, and then they're walking around campus or they're doing social activities of, well, me and my friends are going on a bike ride or a hike this weekend. It's like a social thing, but it's like, whoa, you're really adding up the physical activity here. And it's great to have active, fun lifestyles, but maybe that actually means you don't need to condition quite as hard or quite as long because you've got that physical activity built in elsewhere. Or it's also the challenge of where can you incorporate more rest into your day too to offset that.
Yeah. And it's been fun to incorporate Cora a little bit with some like my conditioning. Sometimes she'll come do hill sprints with me in her neighborhood.
Oh, fun.
And it's really cute just to watch her just mimic me. And I think that's just a great example for her too later on. Like, it's just what my mom did. She just went and ran hills to make herself better.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's been fun too, to incorporate her when I can.
Yeah. My son, actually, I have a Peloton bike at home and he loves when I turn it on, even if I'm not doing the bike, but like doing one of the strength workouts or the yoga. He gets so excited. He runs right to the closet where we have the exercise bands. So he knows too. He's like, that's, it's workout adorable. Time. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's fun to incorporate them into those things. And then, yeah, I feel like I'm just kind of preaching to our listeners too, like really taking into account you're an athlete, but what else are you doing? Where can you incorporate more rest? And how might that mean that you need more fuel? Because I've had so many clients too that are like, oh, I'm meeting my nutrition targets based on, you know, their workout or whatever. But it's like, you're just this highly, highly, highly active person. And in a society and country that's constantly trying to tell people to be more active and eat less food, it's like, whoa, you're not realizing how active you are and how much food you actually need and fuel to keep up this super high activity level. I went through this recently with one of my clients because I'm not big on watches and step counters by any stretch of the imagination, but just to share a little information, like there's some science and health recommendations that say like hitting 10,000 steps a day is a good goal, this and that. Well, she's a college student and an athlete. And she was hitting like 40,000 steps a day. And I didn't realize that until we looked at it on her watch. So here I am giving her nutrition recommendations. I didn't realize how many extra steps she was doing walking around just for her normal life. And when we recognized that, it was like this aha moment of like, this is one of the reasons why we're still not reaching our goals yet. We actually need more fuel for that. Even though her mindset wasn't thinking it was a workout, you know?
Yeah. So that's great information. Yeah.
Yeah. So Betsy, you've got downtime now, but you're preparing for hopeful for the 2024 Olympic team. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So when does that like unfold for you? When are your next competitions to that determine that fate?
Well, for beach volleyball to qualify, it's a year and a half process and it's your best 12 finishes. Over a year and a half. So this past January through next June
Okay.
And then it's decided you have to be within the top 15 and only two per country go. Mm-hmm. So it's always a battle within the U.S. We always have a lot of good teams. We're currently ranked 9 in the world. And we also have a USA team that's ranked 2 and 3. So mm-hmm. it's for sure a battle. And the next elite competition is in February.
Okay.
And then there's a ton of tournaments between February and June. So yeah, we're in the middle of it. It's nice to get a little break, yeah. a recharge.
Absolutely. Break, recharge, quality time with the family, because that's so important to you and your why behind this. And then you'll get after it for your final matches and try and snag your Olympic spot.
Yes.
So excited for you. Well, like I mentioned, I'm a big fan of the sport, so I'll be following along with your journey. Betsy, before we end this podcast, I ask the same questions to every guest. So let's play along. If there was one food you could eat every single day for the rest of your life and never be sick of it, what would that be?
Pizza. I'm a pizza, no cheese, because I don't do dairy.
Oh, wow.
It gives me headaches, I've found out.
Wow.
Yes. So I just love all the toppings, all the sauce. I get judged at restaurants sometimes when I order with no cheese, but it's great.
The reason I'm saying wow is because cheese is my favorite part of pizza.
Okay.
Like, I'm the 4 cheese pizza, extra cheese type of pizza girl. But I mean, pizza is still a great, great food. So even without the cheese, it's your favorite. I love it.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds like an obvious question, but we never know. What is your favorite sport to participate in?
Beach volleyball, yeah, for sure.
Okay. Now, how about as a spectator? What's your favorite sport to watch?
My husband is a big NFL NBA guy.
Yeah.
So we always have the TV on. So I love watching Sunday football. And yeah, my husband's a Utah Jazz fan.
Yeah.
They're never great. No. Sorry, Chase, but the games are always on.
Not one of the most popular teams, but every team has great athletes and need fans behind them.
Yes,
so yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and your basketball, of course, history too. So
yes. Awesome.
Okay, and then Betsy, is there a female athlete out there that you want to give a shout out to for being a role model, inspiration for any reason? She can be well-known or somebody just close to you.
I wouldn't say one specific, but now that I'm a mom, I look up to all the female women athletes who had kids while they played and continue to play. I think of like Nicole Brana. She was incredible, had 2 kids and was playing at the highest level.
Yeah.
Carrie Walsh. I had Lauren Fendrick and Kim DiCello, all these female moms reach out, and there's like the secret moms club that you don't know exists. And then you become a mom and people are supporting you and cheering you on.
Yeah.
So it's cool to be a part of that.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. There is a secret moms club.
Yeah.
I know. And I think even more so in that athletic world of like, wow, like the struggles that you, the struggles, but also joys that you are facing as you navigate this stage in your life. Amazing. Well, thank you for sharing. And Betsy, thank you for coming on the podcast. It was so fun to talk.
Yes, this is awesome. Thank you for having me.
Well, everybody, thanks for listening. I really hope you enjoyed that episode. And if you did, if you are a true fan of female athlete nutrition, then I would love if you could support our podcast by spreading the word. Share a review on your listening channel. Give us 5 stars. It really helps get the word out and get the show more views to positively impact others. Also, you can support the podcast by joining our Patreon. Head to patreon.com/femaleathletenutrition to consider a donation, or even better, join our membership where you get extra monthly content and perks. We don't want you to simply listen alone. We want you to be a part of a community and a movement of fierce, fit, and fueled female athletes. So patreon.com/femaleathletenutrition is where you can do exactly that, learn more, and join. A huge thanks to our affiliates and partners as well. Once again, Prevenix, Inside Tracker, Orgain, Practice Better, Jen and Carrie. Please go check them out and their links in the show notes where you can get deals and discounts. Last, be sure that you do more than just listen. If you need help with fueling, it's time to take action. Head to my website to learn more. You can either book a free call with me to learn more about our coaching programs and how we can work directly with you, whether it's the fast track or otherwise,
Or you can take our online self-study course, Female Athlete Nutrition. You can literally sign up and gain access right now. You can explore our downloadable products, including the Red S Recovery Guide, High Iron Fueling Guide. Or if you are a coach of a team, check out our brand new Coaches Toolkit for teams. You can also just learn more. We have a blog, a Red S quiz to see if Red S is affecting you. If you need help, I want you to get help fast. Too many girls and athletes struggle with nutrition, but you don't have to any longer. You can rise up with the power of nutrition, take action today in any of these avenues, and become fierce, fit, and fueled. Links in the show notes, and we'll see you next time.